All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKFC 41, and that goes down on April the 29th. And a very intriguing co-feature, certainly, as Eddie Alvarez and Chad Mendez knuckle up and toe the line, and great getting to have Eddie on the show. How's your day going there, man?
Excellent, man. I'm going to call ourselves the main event, though. I don't like being called the co-main. We're the main event.
I was going to say, I don't want beef with Perry and Rockhold. I mean, that's kind of my situation.
Yeah, I hear you.
No, but you are right, man. Like, when I did see this fight, I mean, it really is one of those fights that just, like, you know, jumps off a poster. Like, it's one of those fights that, like, you know, people talk about on forums as, like, a, you know, dream fight and stuff like that. What was the temperament when this bout offer came your way? I imagine you were quite excited.
Yeah, I like that. You know, Chad's always been a beast all throughout MMA. Even up until he retired, he still was going against the best guys in the world. So he's a lot like myself, where he didn't take on any, like, small-time competition. He fought the best guys in his division, went after them. Whether he came up short or whether he won, you know, he fought the best guys, and his path was honest. So, somewhat honest. So, I like his fights. I like his fight style. And even better, I think we match up even better in a bare-knuckle match than we do in MMA. I think it's more appealing to the fans. It cuts out all the lulls and all the stalling, and we get right down to action.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because I actually spoke to you before, like, one of your fights with, like, the one on TNT series, and just, like, in the context of their rule set, I was asking if this would be, I guess, the most capably violent Eddie Alvarez we've seen. And I mean, I feel like this bare knuckle league almost lends itself more to that, just like seeing some interviews, like talking about the street fighting early days in Kensington. Like, is this almost going to be the most capably violent Eddie Alvarez we could see in BKFC?
Yeah, like, a lot of people are like, hey, so this is your first bare knuckle. I guess the first one I got paid for. This is how I started my career. This is why I joined fighting, period, because I was I did really well in street fights. I never lost a street fight in my entire life. And then I believed that at a certain age that I couldn't be beat in a fight, from 19 all the way up until I was undefeated and 10-0 in MMA. I was like, I think I had this delusion. I don't know what you want to call it, but I just didn't feel like I could lose in a fight, period. And, you know, without gloves on, my entire life I haven't lost a fight. I lost MMA fights, I lost wrestling matches, but, you know, I never lost in a bare-knuckle fight ever in my life.
Yeah, which is why, like, in doing my research, I found this to be such an intriguing fight. Like, obviously, just going off your MMA fights, one would be excited, but just knowing how you've been in these streets, I mean, definitely adds some intrigue. But it seems like it's, like, a good harmonious thing in a couple ways, just in the sense of kind of, like, knowing the Feldmans a bit from, like, the Philly boxing scene and kind of going to that Hollywood, Florida card. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm thinking I might want to run it for some of this BKFC stuff. And it has been a little bit since you've got to compete. So I guess all that being said, like, how long have you been specifically preparing for this bare knuckle foray?
So I know Dave just from Philly. I know the Feldmans from boxing, and I know this group of people, and we've spoke, and I was, like, really happy that they were kind of making headway with bare knuckle. A lot of people kind of looked at it a different way, but here in Philly, I mean, bare knuckle is like the normal, I don't know, it's like a normal event. So there wasn't anything different from this than MMA. Like, I don't know how it's looked at any differently. I mean, the fighters in it, they're athletes just like anyone else. They train just as hard. They have a discipline about them, schedule about them. And if you watch the fights themselves, there's a lot of, like, intricacies and things that go on inside of a bare knuckle fight that, like, is tactical that you have to learn. And I've been doing that, been a student myself, and it's been fun the last couple of months just kind of learning the small nuances of bare knuckle and how to throw punches properly and how to place them so you don't hurt yourself and you hurt your opponent. So it's been a learning experience for me and a fun one. You know, as of yet.
Yeah, and I mean, that's fair to bring up. Like, who have you been, I guess, working with to get that, like, localized insights with, like, you know, the shot selection and stuff like that? Like, are you working with some people who've previously, like, fought in BKFC, or how is that training camp being curated?
No, I haven't yet. I reached out to Mike Richmond. Me and him are supposed to link up. I wanted to talk with Mike extensively. I think Mike is one of the better guys in this league. I think he's one of the best guys to kind of do it. When I watch his fights and I watch, you know, how he competes and the athlete he is inside of the sport, I think he's, regardless of his last outing, I really feel like he's one of the best guys in this particular sport right now. So I wanted to speak with him about some of the nuances, some of the type of training, how he's changed it, because I know he's a guy who came over from MMA, from boxing to MMA to this, who understands it, who understands the differences of the two and kind of how to train. So, you know, I'd be a fool not to reach out and talk to someone like that or someone who's experienced and had a few of these particular, you know, inside that arena who can give that insight.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, talking to some other bare knuckle fighters, like they'll, I guess, have certain aspects of their camp where it's like oriented to, I guess, like, you know, punching sand or using like those like wooden Muay Thai boards and I guess things of that nature. Like, have you added any things to your training preparations like that or not so much?
Yeah, so like all my mitt work is done, you know, freehand. Like I might wear some wraps to get a tight wrist. But other than that, I'm using just my fist. And I'm seeing that even my mind and my body don't want to punch like a normal boxing punch. They want to turn over. Like, just out of comfortability, my hands want to turn over for the punch to kind of be more comfortable. So, it, like, naturally, you start adjusting. And I'm feeling that. I'm feeling certain things where turning the jab, turning it in, sometimes it's just better to keep it this way and punch it straight without turning the jab even over. Just small little nuances like that, that like in MMA is like a rare, and in boxing is a very standard way of fighting. Bare knuckle is just a different way. It's more about placement and accuracy than it is about power, because just like a small little single shot can cut a guy wide open or sting him or stun him. So, I like to throw big shots. I like to throw, you know, home run shots for the fans. And I find myself having to pull back a little bit just to stay balanced and understand that, like, I don't have to throw, you know, 100 miles an hour in order to hurt someone. I can knock someone out with a stiff jab, with a hard jab, or, like, a short check hook. Like, it's a little bit different of a game, so... like I said, it's been exciting. It's been fun to kind of learn something new and go over like new concepts and new things.
Yeah, this one seems like a fun combination of like new opportunities, but also pseudo familiar, like just in the sense of readying to fight in the United States after like nearly 5 some odd years. Like when I read an article about that, I actually kind of had to do a double take. I was like, has it really been that long? So just in that sense, how excited are you for that?
Yeah, man. I mean, look, I had a great deal at ONE Championship, and I love like Chachi. Me and Chachi did well together, and me with the company at ONE Championship, we did great. But the truth was, like, I needed to come back to the United States. I need to finish my career here. Little did I know that ONE Championship was actually going to be in the United States this year. But I just found it like I needed to come back home. I needed to fight in front of my fans. I needed to be close to home. I'm not going to fight, you know, I have a lot less to fight than I do like more years now. So like, I'm only going to fight a few more times, who knows. And, I want to make sure they're here at home where my friends, family, fans can see it live, or at least have the opportunity to see it live. And me feel that energy from my friends, family, and fans here in the United States. So I can't tell you how happy I am, how excited I am about that opportunity. There is like there's a little bit of excitement lost when you start fighting internationally and when you start fighting, you know, halfway across the world. The energy is just not there, you know, the way you want it to be. And I tell everyone all the time, my funnest shows, my most memorable shows were my first shows when I fought locally. Atlantic City, you know, Trump Taj Mahal, and places like, you know, very close to home where all my fans were there, you know. So after that, it doesn't get as exciting. So it's fun to come back home, come back to the United States, and then do the damn thing.
It's not as exciting as, like, the Bodog days with the Russian mobsters and all that.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
No, that was funny. Shout out to Chael Sonnen for that video. But, I mean, very interesting thing you just said, like, talking about how you realistically have a few more fights. Like, I'm looking at that in terms of, like, what that would represent to you. Like, it seems like what you're saying is the importance is to, I guess, be competing domestically, but is the path forward solely within bare knuckle? Would there be the desire to maybe have, like, a swan song MMA fight and mostly bare knuckle? Like, how does that look ideally for you?
It's going to be up to the promoters involved. I actually really, you know, I knew I'd enjoy the camp. I know I enjoyed the bare knuckle camp, the camp for this. The difference, the excitement. I knew I'd enjoy it. I didn't know I'd enjoy it this much. Like, I thought, you know, originally I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. And then this will probably be like, you know, one fight or something like that. But like, the more I do it, the more I can see myself kind of doing this a few times. Like, it isn't as strenuous as the MMA camp. The wrestling is mostly when you get injured, wrestling and kicks. When you take that up camp, there, I mean, it's a whole lot less on your body. And you're able to train more and able to enjoy what you're doing because you're just not injury prone all the time. No back, no neck, no knees, no things like that. So, like, when you take wrestling out of the camp and kicks out of the camp, it gets a whole lot better. How much I've been enjoying this actual camp and, like, kind of game planning with Ray Robinson and Mark and all of us kind of being like a kid in a candy store to a new sport and enjoying it.
Yeah, for sure, and very excited for this fight coming up and everything like that. And not to, you know, get too ahead, but just I know, like, within MMA, like, when you were with one, the focus was kind of almost on securing that triple crown. Like, is the enthusiasm such for bare knuckle that if you string together some strong wins, maybe a title in BKFC could be a defined goal? Is that kind of what you're looking at, or
why not? You know, I say all the time, like, I don't really make plans. I said plans are for schemers. I'm not a schemer. Yeah. So I never truly planned on fist fighting for 20 years. And we're going on our second decade pretty soon now. Maybe after this year, this would be 20 years fighting. I started the sport when I was 19 years old. When I was 19, I wouldn't tell you that I was going to end up fighting for a lifetime. And I never damn sure would tell you I didn't win all the world titles I have and made a career out of it and millions of dollars. So I stopped making plans a long time ago and just I wake up, put my head down, work hard, and then, you know, let the Lord make my plans for me. I can't tell you, like, I have this plan schemed out, and this is what I'm going to go, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fight Chad Mendez April 29th. I have every intention on putting my hand through Chad's head and then moving on to the next opponent, the bigger, better, bigger money fight. So, that's the only intention. That's the only plan I can give to you right now.
I mean, you talk about how planning is for schemers. Like, does future potential opponents kind of fit within that category, or do you have certain guys that you'd like to throw down with in the future that could be compelling?
Oh, there's tons. I mean, there's free agents out there right now. And there's free agents happening every day. You know, guys are leaving all the largest organizations every day. They're understanding that the landscape of free agency is where it's at, and that if you want bigger money fights and you want fights with some of the top names, in order to get paid for them, you have to be a free agent. And, you know, so there's a lot of opportunity out there and a lot of big-name fighters who are, if they're not free agents now, they're on the cusp of being free agents, and there's fights to be had, so there's nothing but opportunity out there.
And I feel like you'd have very, you know, interesting, like, localized experiences in this regard, just talking about, like, free agency or even the pursuit of free agency in some regards. Like, obviously, at a prior time with, like, the Bjorn Rebny regime in Bellator, quite a, you know, prickly situation, to say the least. But it seems like things have very much cleared up nowadays, in a certain sense. I mean, still a lot more to be done, but it seems like a lot of discourse around BKFC is centered on really, I guess, allowing them certain independent contractor freedoms, like if it's like gloved boxing or maybe pursuing an MMA fight or something like that, just like less restrictive in that kind of sense. Have you noticed that? And can you speak on some of those, I guess, BKFC experiences?
I can only speak on mine personally. I can't speak on anyone else's. And sometimes fighters, you know, have their own individual qualms with promotions, you know. And as of right now, me and BKFC are cool as hell. Me and Dave been great. He's been great to work with. We got a deal done fairly quickly from the beginning of talking to the end of when we were able to shake hands and have lunch. We got a deal done pretty quickly. You know, I know what to expect of them. I set my expectations and they set theirs, and you know, I'm gonna bring it. They damn sure are too. So, but the two of us, you know, in business together, I think, and having Chad Mendez in front of me, I don't know. I don't know how things can go wrong. I think they can go terribly right for every fan that's watching that night. So, I think you guys ought to tune in and be excited.
And I was going to say, some of the language you're using, it seems to indicate that you're seeing a finish in this one. Do you have a particular, like, idea of how you see the outcome unfurling? Like, is there a visualization of an outcome that you see taking place in this one?
I mean, there's anybody who watches Chad and watches myself. I mean, like, if you were to say this fight's going to go to the final bell, I don't know. Maybe you've never watched a fight before, but... you know, the sparring that I'm putting in now, and you know, I've seen what Chad's worked on. I've seen what he can do and what he's capable of. You'd be a fool to think that this thing's gonna go past any more than like 6 minutes. I think 6 minutes would be a long time for this fight to go. I think it should get hashed out fairly quickly, you know. Within the first three rounds, I don't think if I land a shot on Chad, he's going to be able to stand it. And he has hard shots himself. So, you know, I'm going to stay in there to my dying breath. And I don't know, like, I'm a big guy at 165. It's my 165 is my premier weight class. It's where I'm the largest, I'm the fastest, and I'm the most, like, that's my weight class. I don't know if I could be any better. So, you know, it's going to be difficult, not just for Chad, like no offense against Chad, but like against anybody in the world at 165, I'm going to be a bad, really bad, terrible problem to deal with.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like you'd be fully optimized. Not that you weren't at lightweight previously, but just even more so. And that probably could even play into this fight a little bit, just like the dialogue about high levels of, you know, like it being a high altitude rather, and like Colorado and stuff like that. Like, is there any aspect in the training camp that's accounting for that? Like, even in as far as like maybe going there a bit early to acclimate, or I know there's some equipment that can replicate the higher altitude. Is there any consideration for that or not so much?
I don't believe in any of that. I don't.
Fair enough.
I don't believe in science. No, people are going to go, what is he, an idiot? It's a fact. It's true. But, like, I don't know. It's just not. I fought in Mexico City. They said the same thing to me before the Gilbert Melendez fight in Mexico City. Are you going to go out there early? Are you going to do this? You're going to do that? I'm like, I don't believe in any of that. I think if you're in shape and you put yourself through hell and you put yourself through every possible worst situation and put the best opponents in front of you during your training camp, you can get yourself, you know, ready for terrible things that when you get out there, your mind takes over. And I don't know, I have bad intentions for my opponent. And I'm not going to let, you know, the Colorado air get in the way of my win, put it that way. Colorado thin air or whatever it is, I'll be going full on all 10 minutes, 100%.
Yeah, and we've talked about your excitement level in this, and definitely, you know, seems tangible. And I mean, there were some factors to, you know, this with one, but like certain levels of inactivity at different stretches with the pandemic being in place and all, but just, you know, the confluence of things being a little more regular in terms of events and just your excitement for this sport. Like, do you have a particular strength of schedule you would like this year? Like, is there a total amount of bare knuckle bouts in your mind for this year?
Yeah, I mean, let's just say we fight end of April, right? So we fight end of April. The fight's 10 minutes long. It's 5 2-minute rounds. I beat Chad within the first 6 minutes. Let's just say the fight gets over first 6 minutes. My hands aren't broken. My face is good. I want to fight the end of May. So, like, if I'm fresh and I'm clean and I'm good to go, then I can get immediately back into maybe, like, rest and eat a little bit for, like, a week, 7 days, and then fight again in, like, another 4 months. I'd like to fight, no, 4 weeks, I'm sorry. I'd like to fight again before, like, we get to the heavy stuff. So if I could fight again, like, before June 20, June, something like that, then I'd like to get another fight in before then, like, big fight, if possible.
Yeah, just such an exciting time. Like, you were talking about how 165 is, like, the, I guess, optimal weight category. Like, it seems like such a deep division, like, in terms of, like, potential free agents coming over, but also some of the core talent, like, you know, Jake Lindsay and Gorjan Slaveski, Luis Palomino, the current champion, and everything. Like, what are your thoughts on some of the, I guess, current people within that welterweight class, like some of the more, I guess, like, established guys so far?
Any of them guys? I know Palomino. I know him through MMA. I respect him through MMA, and he's done really good here in Bare Knuckle. We actually spoke with each other about maybe doing some cross training, but I don't know the other guys you mentioned. I'm sure they're good, but I don't know all of them. That's not my. I don't want to say like that's not my intention. You know, I don't want what Palomino has. I want large, big names that fans want to see. I want to see, like, bigger, large names. I love to see a Nate Diaz come to Bare Knuckle. I love to see him, you know, he's a guy who touts himself, who says, I'm a real one. That's as real as it gets. Well, I think this is as real as it gets. So I love to see him over at a place like this. There's a couple other guys who are free agents who would transition well to a sport like this and, like, be able to entertain people through this. There's some MMA guys that this isn't for them, but I think someone like Nate, myself, Chad, you know, with the Mike Perrys of the world, like, this is where we should be. This is, this is what the fans want to see out of us. No fan wants to see me grapple. No fan wants to see, you know, Nate Diaz grapple, Mike Perry grapple. They don't want to see us kick. They want to see this. This is what they want to see. So give them what they want to see.
You've been really good with your time, Eddie. I appreciate you coming on. I don't want to, you know, take up too much more of your time. Kind of lost track asking you a bunch of questions, and I appreciate the time and insights, but just curious if there's any, like, final parting thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here, though.
No, I just want people to tune in. I mean, I don't know, outside of the UFC right now, there's not a whole lot of big shows going on that are going to cause for this kind of attention. And right now, Bare Knuckle has put on the biggest event of the year, you know, and with Mike Perry, Luke Rockhold, myself, Chad Mendez, I think Ben Rothwell's on the card. I don't know if there's a bigger event this year that's going to draw more fans and more attention. So I'm ready. I'll be at my absolute peak. You know, you got guys like Mike Perry and Luke Rockhold, and the list goes on and on for this card. Do not miss it. April 29th, it's in Colorado. If you can make it live, get there. But crazy, crazy event if you tune in.
Yeah, it's an awesome event, and a lot of people that I know who don't really, like, watch BKFC or are kind of just getting into it are really, like, talking my ear off about this. So definitely a lot of buzz heading into April 29th, and your fight is certainly contributing to that in a meaningful way. So again, thanks a lot for coming on, man. Much appreciated, but you have a good rest of your day too, though.
You too, brother. I'll see you guys.